Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm very excited to have Brooke Burke Charvet as my guest. Brooke is the host of the Naked Mom podcast and a talented dancer, actor, model, fitness guru, and host. Together, we're helping you navigate your dating, sex, and relationship questions. Topics include how to talk about wanting more sex with your partner, how to prevent your kids from messing with your sex life, what to do about a weak pelvic floor, and how to move past that fear of rejection. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com and check out everything we have going on the website. And you can also subscribe and review me in iTunes. I love when you do that. It's awesome. And you can also, it's really easy actually when you get to my website now because you can subscribe to the podcast, the newsletter, follow me on all social media. I'm actually responding to you guys a lot now. It's been like 12 years and I'm all over my snaps and my Instagram. I'm answering you. I am because I love you and I read everything. So you're going to be like, why didn't you answer mine? I'm trying to answer you all and tell you that I love you. It's all at Sex with Emily across the board. Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook.com/Sex with Emily. Also at sexwithemily.com, I have a store, which is fun. So a lot of the fun, sexy things I talk about, you can buy at the store. And finally, sexwithemily.com/podcasts. If your podcast provider, is that even a thing? Podcast provider, wherever you listen to your podcast, I think a lot of them, you only have like 100 or 200. Well, I've been doing this for 12 years. So if you go to sexwithemily.com/podcasts, I probably have like 5,000 podcasts there you can listen to in your spare time. That's really overwhelming, 5,000. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe it's 2,000. I think if I knew that anything at 5,000, I wouldn't want to go. But let's just say that anything that you're thinking about in your brain that you want to know about, I've probably done a podcast about it. So I'm very excited for my guest today. We have Brooke Burke Charvet here.
Thanks for having me.
Hi. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm excited.
Brooke, we have a lot of listeners.
I came to learn.
You are my student today. You are my student. Brooke is amazing. She's a podcaster. She has an amazing podcast.
Is that what we are? Are we podcasters?
Yes, you're a podcaster.
That's kind of weird and kind of cool at the same time.
Yeah. The Naked
Mom. Podcaster.
You are. Shit. Your TV host, among other things, like TV host, actor, dancer, fitness freak, your booty burn.
Is that what it is?
Fitness freak slash Booty Burn? How does that work?
Well, Booty Burn is the name of my class, so it's kind of just like the brand now. But I do work out a lot, but I teach a class called Booty Burn.
Can anyone
Anyone can come, and I kind of educate people along the way too on my social media. So I'm always putting up little videos.
I saw your Instagram. I just watching your bum, like everyone else in the world. No, if they go to your social media.
No. But yeah, listen, no excuses. Like, you got to be able to knock it out and get it done at home. So that's the Booty Burn. But I love it. It's a passion of mine. Yeah, passion project.
It's amazing. People love watching it. So yeah, podcaster, TV, you were an apprentice. I mean, you've done a lot of crazy stuff. A lot of crazy stuff. And I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that we've recently met and connected around sex and podcasting.
I'm excited because I also own modernmom.com, and I think that what you're doing is so uberly important to just open the eyes of women, mothers, parents, relationships, families, teens. It's just it's a conversation that isn't happening enough. And so I sort of come to this with a real desire and commitment to educate people, and also to help women just get over themselves and to get into more pleasure. And I've listened to a lot of your podcast, and I've learned a lot, and it's really good foreplay, by the way, everyone.
It's fun.
And
right?
I loved having you on my show.
That was great. So modernmom.com, that's where you do.
Yeah. So it's a parental destination with all things family and bloggers, recalls, information. It's kind of like a destination where you can go 24/7 to just learn. And we're not talking about sex there either. Like, we're not talking about sex enough in our country.
We don't talk about sex enough, right? So I feel like,
for some reason, women feel guilty about that. And there's a lot of issues.
Right.
And we're in our own way.
We are in our own way. We don't realize our capacity for pleasure, and that it'll help us. We
don't understand our capacity for pleasure. Or we're withholding for that for some reason. So
Love our bodies. I don't know. Self-confident. You know, there's a lot of things that get in the way.
A lack of confidence, a lack of comfort.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. A lack of, and we think we're the only ones suffering from things. So a thing that I loved about your podcast, because I did some binging.
Thank you.
I've listened to it a few times, and then before I knew you were coming on, like in last week, I listened to a bunch of them, and I was thinking about, you started about it.
I'm a baby podcaster.
I binged on all of them, I think, then. I listened to like 7 or 8. And I love that you had the PMS podcast. It was like women sitting around saying, yeah, this is what goes down. We have PMS. Yeah. And it was just like about the power. And this is what I think a theme in a lot of your podcasts is about: women and community and being open and talking to our friends. Like, it's like our partners don't have to be everything. Yeah. Your husband, your boyfriend, whoever it is. Like, we have our friends.
And I'm so glad you said that. You're authentic. Thank you. So true, though. Like, I'm a woman's woman.
You are.
But there's some stuff that there's a secret language that only women speak. And there's stuff that I'm not going to share with my man. And speaking of the PMS podcast, I had to bring some humor to a really vicious, like, horrific subject matter for a lot of women. So we all got together. We got together at my condo. It's kind of like my she cave.
I know. I want to come to the she cave. I'm like, she's got a she cave.
You're totally coming. We're going to come and we're going to do a whole sex party there. But we drank some wine, and we just opened it up, and we laughed, and we dished, and it was vulnerable and real. And I just think there's comfort in us learning from each other. And if we could maybe even bring some humor to the subject matter of sex and women who are faking orgasms or not having them or don't know their body or never used a toy or aren't having sex or hate their husbands.
They hate their husbands.
What's up with that? Like,
oh my God, right?
Like, why are you staying? Yeah. Like, what? Not even the sex part, but there's just a lot of stuff accepted in our society.
Exactly.
It's really weird.
They're like, they love talking about how much they hate their husbands, how much they hate sex. But that's why I always say, like, you gotta prioritize. We talked about this in your show. Prioritize your sex life, prioritize your relationship, but the sex even above almost anything else, because not anything else, it has to be up there with things. But just to say that we care about our friendship or we're partners. Without the sex, you are just roommates. So your sex does have to take priority. Like, how and when are we going to have it? And I think that a lot of women like getting together and saying, I hate my husband. Oh God, I didn't even blow a job. I don't want to give mine a blow job. And they unite over that.
I find that to be so sad.
Me too. So that's why the women, the friends, you got to be like, babe, you got to just do it. Like, have sex with your partner. Like,
yeah. Like, that was some of the best advice that you gave me when we spoke last, was making sex a priority. But I just, like, for me as a woman's woman, I want to empower women to be their best selves all the way around. I want them to have great sex. I want them to understand their body. I want them to have a sexy, sensual, connected, fulfilling relationship. And if they're not in a relationship, like, I just want them to understand the whole mysterious, crazy thing that we beast that we are, right?
Right. And that's what I think your podcast is kind of like providing that. Because I feel like it's not like you need a zillion friends, like just a few maybe really good friends.
God, we're lucky if we have a few really good ones,
aren't we? Really good ones that you have for life. And I don't know where I'd be without my girlfriends, but it just reminded me of like all the things that like if I didn't have them to motivate me, to be there for me, to listen, to understand that we're all in this together. And so that's what I liked. I just felt like we were all hanging out. Like you're dropping like serious info and like, but it was talking about PMS. I was just thinking about this, that I was told at some point in my life, like never talk about your period with a guy. It's not sexy or whatever. And it's like, I get that it's not. It's not like I'm like, so just know I was bleeding like 3 pints before dinner. I mean, I'm not like being specific about it. But what I found so interesting was that we can't ignore it because it's gonna affect your relationship. We have PMS.
Too much.
And it happens.
I have it right now.
Oh, you do?
My poor husband.
You seem so happy.
Because I'm with you.
Orgasm.
No, but
orgasms help with PMS and cramps.
I believe that.
It's so true.
It's the releasing serotonin, of the contraction.
Serotonin, everything.
And the serotonin, which we talked a lot about that.
Yep, serotonin.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, go.
Why are we so aroused after our period?
It's our hormones.
Isn't that so good?
Yeah, it's so good.
Because I can go from being a complete bitch for a week.
Right.
But it's almost like it's the makeup. It's like the damage control. Did Mother Nature finally do something
Probably.
Good for us?
That's the one thing she did. She's like, you're going
to
be a bitch for a week, but now you're going
to
want to.
And I kept forgetting.
Yeah, it
so is.
So
is that real or is
and
that
it's
just
not
me?
It's for a lot of women, but some women find that when they're ovulating, they're the most turned on. And some women find during their period when they're actually, they want sex more, and some after. For me, it's after as well, because I'm like, okay, the bloating's gone, the moodiness
is gone.
So it's
just the roller coaster of
it's the freaking roller
the
coaster.
Mystery of-
but the thing is that I think going back to like what I, in a relationship, that how you handle it is not that I need to talk about what is actually going on in my body, but like, yes, I'm going to be a little moody right now. You know when it's happening. Like I have one of those apps that like mark when it's happening and communicate with your partner what you need, what you don't need.
Let me help you help me. Here's what you
here's
do
what
it.
I need.
And
chocolate.
By the way, and, when we're in it, we're not like, it's great that you and I can have this conversation. I don't do it in my own marriage. I'm probably short and grumpy and snappy and, you know, I yell at the kids a little too much. I don't really say to my husband, which he'd probably really appreciate, hey, I'm feeling really crappy in my uterus. I feel like I have a fist going through my back and I'm in a bad mood and I'd like to not see you for the next 4 days. Can I just go away and then I'm going to come back really hot and sexy?
Like happy? Go to your woman cave, the chick cave.
There's for
Can
some
you
reason
just go
we
there?
Feel good. Yes, but we feel guilty.
Women have a hard time taking time off.
Now that I'm in my mid 40s, I fully understand what I need as a woman and I do not feel bad about asking for
good.
It and taking it.
Good. You have exactly. And how much happier are you for doing that now? And it takes
gotta
us forever,
it.
But you have to.
I didn't do it in my 30s. I didn't do it when I was 40.
So what do you think it was? What brought you to that?
I think obligation, not giving myself freedom to do what I needed to do, not understanding my own body as a woman. My body, I mean my mind, my hormones, my moods. And now I can kind of like anticipate, which is so, I don't want to even admit that PMS is this powerful because I think it's bullshit. Right. I never went through it as a younger woman. Now I'm in it. But really just understanding, like, I kind of know that I'm going to give my husband a really hard time 1 week out of the month.
Right.
For no reason. And I'm going to be against him.
Right.
Isn't that awful?
But does he know? But
he's
going to
be so
too?
Proud of me if he listens to
That's
this.
That's good, though. But if he's like, okay.
He knows
make
it, but
joke.
He doesn't accept it. I mean, he knows it, but he's on the but shitty end of the side.
Right. But if you're like, okay, it's coming. Like, right. But this is when it happens. Like I always see, even to my staff, I'm like, you guys, I'm probably going to cry today. I don't know why. Right now it's sunny.
I've been
everything's
crying
great.
At America's Got Talent. My daughter's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I'm PMSing. Okay. I'm like bawling at some stupid TV award.
Cause it's, but right.
And I'm telling myself, pull it together. Stop it. No, it's like 7 a.m. Yourself- I'm having my coffee and I'm watching like reruns and I'm crying. What is wrong with me?
Hormones. It happens. And it's real. So I think in the relationship of saying like, listen, this is a real thing. It happens. And like, I'm sorry if I'm a bitch ahead of time or
and
whatever
Mother Nature,
it is.
Mother Nature is just a big bitch.
And I want to have sex with you in a week, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But I used to feel like it got so bad for me that my PMS, and I would spend the next, it was bad for a week, and then I'd spend the next 3 weeks trying to clean up all the damage that I would do. Yeah. But it's not like that anymore.
Maybe
anyway,
that's why we're more aroused the week after. And by the way, it gets worse. It doesn't get better, too. Like, anyway.
There's certain things you can do.
I talk about sex and not PMS.
Forget it. I know. I actually, that's the most I've actually ever talked about on the show. But check out your podcast. It's not all about PMS, but I love that it's just about women talking about being real, being authentic like you are. And I adore you. And I think this is really fun.
Thank you so much.
So let's talk about, so you are in your second marriage.
Yes.
You have 4 kids. And you guys look really happy and sexy and cute together. I'm not saying it's perfect.
It's not perfect.
But any tips that you've learned in these years that you've been married, this is my number one tip I'd give.
Yeah,
that I've learned.
It's such a loaded question. Well, I mean, we're still learning to communicate. I guess if I were going to fess up or really give any advice to anyone, because I'm not an expert, I'm like so learning from my children, from my man, from my marriage.
We're all always learning.
It's work. Is that I'm willing to own the fact that we're not good at certain things and that we need better tools all the way around in marriage, whether it's love, intimacy, communication. Like when you can get rid of the ego a little bit in a relationship, any kind of relationship, it's really helpful. And we have a lot of ego, my husband and I. And we're both really strong people. So I love that you said it looks really happy and like sexy. We have incredible chemistry. So that's, I'm going to default to that.
Great.
So thank God for that, because I've been in a different kind of a marriage, you know, the first time around that was really good in other ways. And I don't know if this is mature or not, but I can kind of default to finding our way back chemically, and not that that's,
no, but that's
enough, but we have that connection, which means that we are lovers and we're connected and we're not just business partners and parents and roommates, which you and I have spoken about before. And it's not always like that, by the way. Sometimes I want to kill him, and it's not like we fight and then we have this great makeup sex because I'm too angry usually to have makeup sex. We're not.
Right, really.
He wishes we had that, but we don't. But we have chemistry.
It's so important. And I can't tell you, that is nothing to like sneeze at, for something my grandmother would say. But really, it's nothing, because I don't even know where that came from. Things come out of my mouth. Right? Chicken stick it there. Whatever they say. But it's true, because if people sometimes will email me, they say, how do we get the spark? You know, how do we get it back on track? And I think, or they'll call, sometimes we take callers. If a couple tells me they never had it, they're like, well, it was never really there.
That's hard.
You're kind of out of luck.
But then if what happens?
Truly, I mean, you can't, I don't want to say that definitively there are things you could do. You could build a healthy fantasy life together. You can start, but let's focus on the people who have a spark like you do, or you've had that chemistry. That's amazing. It's not silly to say we go back to that, because that's the well that you need to keep drawing from, and you need to keep nurturing, because that is going to just fizzle without. It's like it's a living entity, and you got to keep feeding it and nurturing
it's really
it and watering
powerful.
It because it will fizzle out. But at least even when it starts, you can get
and
back
it does,
to it.
You know what? And it does sometimes. I mean, that's just part of being a woman and growing up and going through your childbearing years and whatnot. But I don't know. That's like the one thing with my husband in this marriage is he's probably the one guy that. It's so satisfying, our sexual relationship, that I don't need to like stray or desire something. I mean, there's a lot of issues. I mean, he drives me crazy. Like there are so many parts of our marriage that need work. But that part's really good. So I'm.
And has it gotten better? Like, do you feel like you've worked at it or you've learned stuff?
Well, the beginning was fireworks, right? Like bottle that and love that. I mean, like freaking mind blowing.
Honeymoon.
And then, when we go through phases. So just to humanize it, you know, we go in and we go out of it. But it's gotten better in different kinds of ways. It's gotten deeper and our communication is stronger and we understand each other and I understand the changes in my body, and it's just phases. And then when it's not so good, we roll through it and then figure it out.
And you talk about it and you realize like
we talk about
the same page.
He's got a lot of feminine energy though, like in that way. Like he's very verbal. Like you should have him come on a douche.
I will.
Like he's like a chick.
I love it.
He loves to talk.
Like about emotions.
Just
like,
all of that. Sometimes more than me, where I'm like, can you just like.
I date guys like that too, because so I'm not as emotive sometimes.
He's better at it than I am.
He's like, babe, where'd you feel that orgasm in your body? Was it
like,
your oh, that's good. Funny. Those emotions. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. I love it. Well, I'll come on next.
Yeah.
We'll go through the sex toy closet together and go shopping.
Oh, God.
But no, I'm glad to hear that. And also, I know you guys just got back from vacation, and I just got back from vacation as well.
Where were
you? And I was in Hawaii. It was amazing.
Nice.
And I was thinking about, well, this is like, there's certain things with being in this industry, sex, that like holiday time, it's like gifts. You know, I get a million requests from reporters, like, what are your best gifts? And like, then there's like winter, like it's cold outside. Let's sit inside, how to have like cold weather sex. So now it's been vacation sex, right? The last few months, vacation
Why
sex.
Is vacation sex always good?
Exactly. Well, this is the thing. And I had great vacation. And I'm like, oh my, and now I talk about
what,
it.
What's up with that?
I was going to talk to you about this because I'm assuming... I mean, you guys.
Well, I was on vacation with the kids,
right?
But when we go on vacation, yeah, it's
amazing,
like hot and heavy and on and different. And we always come back and we're like, why can't we just sort of duplicate that? But vacation with the kids is tricky.
Yeah, not as great.
And our kids are kind of still in and out of our bed,
right?
But
vacation sex, I just thought about the whole concept of it, and that's good that you guys still go on your own with kids, because I think that people are always protesting that, oh, we can't afford it, or we can't get away. And I'll get to that in a moment. But the reason why vacation sex is so damn good is because you are out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. You're not in your bedroom, which is where you have sex 99.9% of the time, unless you guys are like having sex outdoors or you're swingers, but I don't think so. You're probably mostly in your bedroom, right? So it's the newness and it's the novelty, and it's like you don't have to worry about the sheets. You have to worry about someone coming in.
I think you're right.
And it's just like
something different.
And that's what happens when you get into a committed relationship. There is nothing you get. It's all, you know, becomes the same and routine, and nothing's new and exciting.
Right.
So even if you can get away for a night with your partner, you can go to the Motel 6.
Staycation.
Like, I don't staycation
too.
Yeah,
doesn't have to be far away.
It's true.
Or you could go, like, this is kind of crazy, but creative, because I like to find creative ways. But you can go into a guest bedroom, get rid of the kids, do a double sleepover, whatever.
Yes.
Go into a room and kind of like play make-believe and pretend like you're in some swanky hotel room and set the mood and light your candles.
I love this idea.
Do your playlist. I told you before, I have a really good sexy playlist.
Yeah.
So I'm going to share it with you.
I want your sexy
and
playlist.
And we update it all the time. But it's like, you got to be, especially in a marriage, because I'm sorry, it's not always sexy.
Right.
Like, it's just not.
So I love the idea of it. Yeah, the extra bedroom. I always say, like, have it, literally have sex in the living room if you don't usually, or wherever, but the
get
extra bedroom,
make go it. Go in the backyard.
Yeah, have camping sex.
That's hot.
Atmosphere, I love it. The candles, the atmosphere, turning off the cell phones, and that's why. And I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, vacation. And I'm still in the honeymoon phase with the person I went with, so it doesn't
Amazing.
Really
count. Lucky you.
Yeah, it was like honeymoon sex on vacation. And when,
oh,
but,
that's the
but
best.
Still, just in general, I was looking at couples who just, you know, you just get it, and it's a real thing, and that's why.
It's work. You have to, you know, like you said, make it a priority and make each other important. And like, you know, I also think, you know, when you're dating and like somebody's coming over to pick you up and you like find that right outfit, or maybe you change a few times and you're kind of nervous and you want to know if you have the right perfume on and blah, 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 blah. It's kind of really important to do that in a long-term relationship.
To make the effort.
To, what's the word? To just sort of like, I don't want to say reinvent, but you just don't want to be boring.
Right. You don't want to walk around your sweats. You
want
to make the effort.
Predictable.
Right.
Because predictable is safe.
Exactly.
Sexually, I mean, there's some things that you want to count on. Let me just, I'm like backpedaling. But being predictable all the time in a relationship, that's kind of boring.
It is. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why what happens is we decide that we meet someone and it's new and it's different and it's exciting and everything's great. And then we decide we're going to become one. Let's lock this down. And what that means is becoming one. We share everything. There's nothing new. There's no secrets. We go to the bathroom with the door open. Oh. We shave in front of each other. We talk about our period, you know, and it's like,
I've been married for 12 years. I still don't go to the bathroom.
See, good. See, I was going to ask you. I don't think you should.
You know, this is such a funny conversation. No, such an inappropriate conversation. I don't want any part of that.
I have
kids. Like, we're like a full blown family. I'm not even comfortable going into the bathroom. Like, no, that's something like, but that's girls don't even go to the bathroom, first of all.
Exactly. I don't even know what we're talking about. What did I say?
Not that we go to the bathroom, but in the event that we did go to the bathroom, no, I don't want any part of that. Like, we see these funny movies. My husband and I joke around about it all the time. Like, they're brushing their teeth, or the girls, and they're like really going to the bathroom. Like, I would be mortified.
Right. Well, that's those things I think are important to keep in place.
Some people don't care.
They don't care. They think that because when you're in the new relationship, you think, well, this is how we're going to get close. So if I can go to the bathroom with, because I remember dating a guy once, he's like, he wanted me to leave it open. I'm like, because to him that meant like it was intimacy.
Are we talking about like peeing, or we talking about like going to the bathroom? Like, it was whatever.
It was just something. I was like, I don't want you to watch me do anything. No. Because that's just not how you think. And it was, for him, it was a way of security. I think we get that confused, that we still need to keep these things to us that are our own, that make us independent, unique.
Yes. I love privacy, please. Even in a marriage.
Exactly. So that
my kids can come in.
The kids, you'll pee in front of the kids, right? But it sounds like you guys are doing the right things.
Thanks. We're trying.
Well, this actually brings me to the sex in the news that I picked out especially for you, because I feel like you can help me with this.
Okay,
so this is our sex in the news. So Brooke Burke Charvet.
I like the way you
I'm
say
like,
it.
I'm like Charvet. Okay, I'll say it again. Brooke Book.
It's hard. Do that. Can you do that five times fast?
No.
Brooke. You can. Okay. Come on, you can do
it. Brooke Charvet.
Oh, nice. It's very sexy. You have such Charvet. A sexy voice.
It is very sexy. No, I like your name. It is a very sexy name.
Oh, I don't know.
So, so this Sex in the News article I picked up for you because I think you can help me with. And it's ways to prevent your kids from messing with your relationship. Not easy to preserve romance after having kids, but here's some tricks that go a long way. And this was a study that was recently published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. And it says that the rate of decline in a relationship satisfaction is twice as steep for couples who have kids than those who are childish. So it's going to take a nosedive when you have kids because, like we said, people don't often prioritize their romance, mm-hmm. their intimacy, and their relationship.
Sad, but true.
So here's some tips, and I want to know what you think about these, and maybe you have something to add or if you've done this. So it says do one romantic thing a day. It could be simple, a love note or a text, giving your significant other a lengthy hug. Even a hug.
Nice. God, I just realized that I don't do that once a day. I just felt like really bad. Do you know what?
The day's not over.
Okay, you're right. Little tiny
little
gestures.
I'll send you home with a cock ring. No, just kidding.
Would you? God, that would be huge. Can you imagine if I came home with that? I would be off the hook for like the month, the year.
Right.
He does know that I'm seeing you today, so he is expecting me to come home with you. No. That's a really sweet gesture, and I think that... You know, you talk about everything and you have all this great like sex advice, but little tiny little gestures of appreciation, I think, go a long way. So yes, if I got a nice little message, or if I sent my husband just a random little, hey, I'm thinking of you and I love you and I think you're amazing.
Right.
He would be so filled up with love. And it's like, oh man, I'm not doing that. That's really easy stuff. Yes, I'm going
so
to do
easy,
that.
So easy, right? And well, to lead up on that, says make appreciate a regular part of your vocabulary.
Yeah, totally.
I appreciate you. Many couples benefit from regular expressions of validation and appreciation throughout the week. It can be as simple as saying, thank you so much for what you're doing.
Huge.
You know, it means a lot to me. Or I appreciate you. We need to hear it.
Huge. I heard a great quote. What we appreciate appreciates.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Yeah, thank you goes a long way. And I'm talking like little stuff. Like, thanks so much for taking the kids, picking them up from soccer today, because I got to go have coffee with my girlfriend. Amazing. We have all these expectations in relationships.
Right.
We do. We take so much for granted.
We do, and we forget, and it feels good just to be, and whatever their love language is. You ever talk about the love language?
Oh my God, that book.
I'm obsessed with it.
So that was a really big turning point in my relationship and in our marriage.
Yeah.
And we're going through kind of like a bump in the road. And we both read that book, and we learned a lot about each other. And I would highly recommend everybody to check that book out.
Yeah, I mean, I did. I talked about it on
the
show. I feel like, it's by Gary Chapman. And did we ever write about it? I think it's on the website. We have a blog about it. And I did a show about it. But it is great because typically couples have like two different, usually there's two But it's not the same often.
Unfortunately.
But it's how we, I'm not going to get into it because when I go off on, I go off for an hour, but it is a great way for couples, but maybe their love language is like words of affirmation.
Yeah, we are right. Words of affirmation.
Yeah, that's what mine are. I'm like, tell me I'm hot. Mine are easy. I'm like words of affirmation and physical touch. I'm like, just touch me and tell me I'm hot. I'm easy.
And if your partner's love language is touch and you're not touching him, but you're doing everything for like cooking and taking the kids to school and making this beautiful home and you like run the world, but you're not touching your partner, he is never going to feel loved.
That's the thing. It's a like, great...
Basic one-on-one. I mean, huge light bulbs went off when we both read that.
Same. It's such an easy read too, you guys. I think it's on our website as well. You can check
and
it out.
And words of affirmation. Yeah, I need them.
Physical. We all need them.
Need them.
Right?
Some men don't. Some women don't.
True.
Yeah.
I love
them. So, yes, thank you goes a long way. Right? Good tip.
It's a good one. Okay, so then also, how about this? Show affection in front of your kids.
Ooh, that's big.
What do you think about that?
I think I'm all for it. Some people are not. Some people are extremely uncomfortable with that. For me, I want my children, even my daughters, to grow up in a very loving, fulfilling, affectionate relationship. I want them to be touched and hugged and kissed, and I want their husband to dance with them in the kitchen. You know, I want them to be like swooned.
Right.
But that's just like the silly, hopeless romantic.
But that's
in me.
Good that they see that. I think that there are other couples that think, oh, we gotta
some
shut
people
this down.
Die at the thought of public display of affection. My husband is very touchy-feely and affectionate. And sometimes it's interesting with the kids, if any of you ask, because my youngest daughter sometimes will be like, ew. Like if we're kissing, we're like make out in front of our kids, but she'll be like, ew, you got, and we say to her, aren't you happy that your mommy and your daddy still like to kiss each other?
Right.
We're not like grossly kissing.
No, I get it. You're modeling a healthy relationship.
But even sometimes we're like, we kiss, we still make out. And my husband sometimes will even say, how do you think we made you? Like, yes, it's happening. We still like each other.
Right.
We kiss.
I think that's so important. I don't know why people, I mean, I think you're, because kids know what's going on. Like if they don't see it and you guys are never touching, you're never affectionate, I think
and
it's
some
healthy.
Couples don't. At all.
They don't.
And they're probably not doing much of it behind closed doors
either.
Exactly.
They're like, well, I'm not going to start making out with you in the kitchen if we're not doing it in the bedroom. Yeah. So anyway, I think it's important, you guys. Don't hide it from your children. Also, make your romantic love as important as your parental love. So it's not about choosing one over the other. It says that you want to build a culture in your family where your connection with your partner is seen as just as important as your connection with kids. So that's kind of like the affection thing, but prior to saying, you know, we have our date night, like don't feel guilty that mommy and daddy need their night or their vacation or their whatever. Do you feel
that? I think this is one of the biggest challenges in raising a family and staying married because we make everybody else a priority. And I talk a lot about this. I write about this.
Podcast,
I speak a lot about this. It's so easy. We're such good parents. And we oftentimes are not great partners,
right?
And we don't make each other a priority. And date night is huge, easier said than done sometimes. But yeah, it's much easier to be a good parent than it is to be a great husband or wife. Just, sorry, it is.
It is, and you got to choose it both, though.
And, you know, trying to find that balance, gosh.
Because they're both full-time, can be full-time jobs, but... It's just the little, maybe just these little things would help.
But even having this conversation, like right now I'm thinking, I'm like, ooh, I should probably kick it up a notch. And would you send it
totally.
To me?
Yeah, totally. I'll text
you. I'm going to kick it up a notch in the romantic department because these tiny little tweaks along the way is what keeps a relationship going.
Absolutely. From every, you know.
And by the way, we forget. Like if we wouldn't have this conversation, I wouldn't have sent that text.
Yeah. And now, right.
Sorry.
Or when you're leaving here, you'll be like, can't wait to see you tonight. Or
he
like,
knows I love him. I don't need to tell him. Like,
right?
No.
But we all need to hear it. We all need to hear it. Affirmation. We love it. And then, okay, create phone-free zones. That's a hard one.
Well, I'm big on that.
Good.
My husband is not. It's a huge nerve for me. I'm really big on it because of all the kids. I am so pissed off when he is having a conversation with me and I have half of him because he's buried in that friggin' gadget.
What do you do?
And he's pissed off at me because he usually drives when we're together and I'm grossly addicted to social media.
Right.
And I find that it is a really great opportunity for me to get off.
Exactly.
So I'm being a huge hypocrite here, but you got to set the ground rules. And we were even bitching about it this morning. As we were talking about little things that we can do better, because we just got out of this like couple week, this argument that lasted far too long because I'm super stubborn. And we made a few requests and he was like, yeah, and you think you could like maybe not be on the phone so much and treat me like a driver? And I'm like, shit, okay, I know that. But it's still such a great time.
It's the best time. You're like, huh, what? Yeah, I know. I just went through this in Hawaii because he was driving. And I'm like, this is a great time for me to be on. He's like, you're just be navigating. I'm like, oh,
I know.
God.
You know, we're in a really dangerous time of tech addiction. and being way too obsessed and connected with things and people that don't matter, like all these pretend people in the world. So, right, we're just like grossly disconnected and connected to a bunch of shit that like means nothing. So,
and then modeling that for your kids too. But then it's addiction. It's, they talk about serotonin again. It's like the spike. You get your phone, you get the likes, you get the things.
And it's it helps for defining career. People. And it's just, it's, you got to put it down. And I lost my phone when I was on vacation. Oh. People are like, well, so how come you were Instagramming? Well, because I got my child's phone and then I was it was such a blessing in disguise. And I didn't wig out. Like I left it on the plane when I arrived in France. So part of me was like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm going to make all these videos. I'm going to take all these fabulous photos. I'm going to be so connected to everybody around the world that I don't even give a shit about. Blah, blah, blah. So I lose my phone. It was so good.
Right? Although you did great photos.
Thanks. I used my son's
phone. But it was good because what? Because you felt like...
I was probably on my phone 10% of the amount of time that I normally would have been on my phone. And I was much more present. And it just was a different experience.
It's like a detox.
And it's a hard thing to... You got to do it.
You have to. I think it's
And then
really
I was really
healthy.
Pissed because my husband had his phone.
Right. So you can't be on the phone if I can't be on the phone. No, but I had a thing because you do have these hot pictures of you. I mean, always in your bathing suit. But
Thank you. Vacation,
I was looking, I'm on your Instagram, and it's funny because the guy I was with, he's like, I'm not taking pictures of you for your soul. He wouldn't take pictures. And I sent him a clip. Like,
oh, my husband does the same thing. I'm like, don't you want to support me? I'm trying to build a fitness business here.
Exactly.
My kids are literally, I'm like, I'm going to do a booty burn right here. We're getting on the train to Paris. This is going to be super cool.
Booty burn.
And they're like, Mom, you're so embarrassing. I'm like, you guys all suck. Like, why can't you just support me? Mom, no way. Like, this is a ongoing family conversation.
Exactly.
I annoy the hell out of them.
Because I can't do it on my own. I'm like,
if I was with you, we would have the best videos ever.
I need friends that will do. My friends won't.
We need to go on vacation.
I will support you. Done.
We can talk about sex the whole time and make great videos.
Amazing
not sex videos.
Videos.
Like
I'll, do your
videos.
I'll do your booty burn. I'll burn my booty. We'll,
God,
we'll
that's
talk
what
about
friends
sex.
Are for.
I know.
They do way more
I
for
need
you
more
than
friends.
Your partners.
It's true. I need more friends that will support me in my social media habit because he was like, he calls it a GoPro, like the guy on the trip that just taking your picture, but he has like a nameless, faceless person.
I totally feel you.
I'm glad to hear that David was also against it.
Oh, totally. Okay. He does it just enough. But I have one really great girlfriend, and she happens to be in the industry as well. And I'm always with her. And I'm like, give me the phone. Let me do this. We're going to capture. She's like, I know I'm the annoying friend, but I'm going to be the friend that I don't have because I'm going to get you every single thing you need for the social media for the next month.
Yeah, exactly.
And I do it.
Because we know how, right, we need, this is, there's so many reasons we have to hang.
You and I are
this.
Doing that.
I'm glad we are. It's done. Okay, I think that was great. Thank you for that Sex in the News, you guys. So, and I'm going to send it to you. We should post this on the site. I think these are some good tips
for
people.
I want to post that too, because I think those are little simple, easy.
Simple.
Easy things. And you know what? Like that like breeds more kindness and more appreciation and more thoughtfulness.
Right. I think it's funny because we think, oh God, we're desperate. We're not having sex. Things are horrible. When there's really just, there's not a quick fix, but there's little tiny things that if you start doing, even today, you're like, you know what? I'm going to send this text right now that says, I'm thinking about you. I love you. Thanks for last night. That's the first step. Or you get home and you make sure that you kiss before you leave. I mean, tiny
little,
things, big gestures.
Tiny little things. Like
tiny gestures,
I'm going to fess up real quick because my husband and I were in like this funk and it was just like lasting too long. And finally, like we were talking in the morning over coffee and he's like, well, do you have any suggestions? Like, what are we supposed to do? And I'm so stubborn. I'm like, I don't know what we're supposed to do. I don't have any suggestions. And he's like, okay, why don't you think about it? Why don't you get back to me and like see what you come up with? And this morning, it was this simple. It was hard for me to do it because I'm so stubborn. But I was like, okay, I'm getting back to you. And here's what I'm thinking. So this morning, I was like, we have to be sweeter and we have to cuddle more. That was it.
Great.
And he responded to me and he was like, I was thinking the same thing. Like, this is so easy. It was like just that. We have to be sweeter. Like, be nice. Like, really sweet. I said, my sex was, we have to be sweeter. I didn't say you. I said, we.
You never say you.
And I said, and I mean like really sweet. Okay. And we have to cuddle more.
So how do you think you would be really sweeter today? You're going to help me answer some emails in a minute.
I'm going to send that text.
See, this is so good. And I think everyone right now can think about that. Like, how could you be sweeter? How could you be a little bit more affectionate? Say something nice to your partner.
It's so easy.
It's easy.
It's
okay. We shouldn't make sex should be fun, people. Relationships should be fun. Well, sex should be fun. Relationships take work, but it shouldn't be as hard as we make it. Okay. Thank you, Brooke. We are going to answer some emails if you stick around.
Yeah, love to.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for supporting our sponsors. We love them. And, you know, I never talk about any products or anything I have not tried and that I don't love myself. So we'll be right back with some emails. Thanks for listening. Hey, Hey, everyone. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for emailing me. And thank you, Brooke Burke. Why am I like so?
I love it. This is the cutest thing ever. Come on, you can do it.
Brooke Burke Charvet.
Very nice. I love the way you say that.
Charvet. And I even speak French.
I love it.
It's really, it's a really beautiful name.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you. But thank you for being here. And also, if I have not mentioned this, so I'll be on our website, but people can check out your podcast, The Naked Mom Podcast, and your social media. Which I'm going to say right now. It's all, hold on. Which she's all over it. And it's actually
it's just
hot
Brooke
and
Brooke.
Sweet
Don't even
and
do
smart.
The survey. It's just okay, Brooke across the board.
Okay. Twitter and Instagram. Check all that out. So thank you for being here and helping me answer these emails from my listeners who rock. So everyone, thank you for emailing me. And you all know that now you can easily text me your question. Just text Ask Emily one word.
It's like a full-time gig. Are you like living and breathing this whole
thing? I am, yes.
Your fans are so devoted.
I know.
She literally is like reading and reaching out. Like, this is so...
All the time. Well, it doesn't come into my personal phone, but we get hundreds of emails and texts.
Impressive.
But I think that your texts might... We might pay more attention, though. They might jump to the top because we have so many emails. I don't know. Just try it, you guys. It's 797979. You text one word, Ask Emily, and then you just get that form and you submit a question. And it's so easy. You can also submit it from our website, sexwithemily.com, using the Ask Emily tab. And also, if you want to be called, we are taking callers now. So you just click on the, when you're answering your question, there's a box that says, yes, I'd like to be called. And we will call you and we will change your life and help you with your questions. As always, include your information that helps me, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Ready? I love that you're here helping me with this.
I'm going to call you with random questions
anytime
throughout the week.
Got my number. Hey, Emily, thanks for a great and entertaining show. My question, like many others, focuses on the lack of sex in my relationship. My wife and I have been together for about 10 years, and we have twins who are a few years old. For the first 2 years, we had sex pretty much as often as possible. However, it's been a steady down spiral, and now we're having sex about 2 times a month. Obviously, I want more. Every time we talk about it, she ends up taking the blame and getting angry or sad. The good news is we've talked about porn and even watched porn together, though we both were both shy about it in the beginning. The problem is my wife thinks she needs to be turned on and ready to go immediately. She doesn't seem open to flirting, foreplay, or slowly getting turned on along the way. I want to be intimate more often with my wife, even if it doesn't lead to sex. How should we proceed to talk about this? Please help us make our everyday life hot again. Thanks for your show and your work, David 30, Norway. And he listens at work. I'm always people listening at work. I'm like, are you more productive, less productive? Okay. P.S. We both masturbate from time to time, but my wife feels like she isn't supposed to and all that intimacy should be with someone else. It should be with her. Not sure this is a contributing factor. So let me back. This is an interesting question because typically women, you know, we say that women, you know, need more time to be aroused and to be turned on and want foreplay. And he's saying that she doesn't want the sex. They have twins. As we know, when you have kids, your sex drive can just, you know, take a nosedive and worry about the kids. And she, you know, it's in a downward spiral. She doesn't want sex and she won't do the things that is interesting that we keep talking about. So that I've often said on the show, the flirting, the foreplay, the arousal, and what can she do? And so it's interesting, I think, and I'd love to hear what you think about this when you heard it, but I liked your PS, David. You weren't sure if you should include this, but you said your wife feels like she shouldn't masturbate. Mm. And to me, that a lot of this starts with that, her core belief that masturbation is wrong, that it's not healthy, and that it should be saved for your sex life, which she's not really into
having
right now, not
fun,
turned on. And so I think the fact that she's feeling shame around that, that maybe this could be time for some, you know, you said you're watching porn together and you were shy about it. It sounds like you got over it, but I mean, it's interesting.
Maybe there's some guilt associated because they're not having enough intimacy together. So she's feeling like she shouldn't be masturbating and self-pleasuring herself, which actually would probably be good. But he also said that she gets angry. And for me, like my initial thought with that is that's your sort of defensive. And I think he said the twins are two. Mm-hmm. So, okay, she's rolling out of her reproductive years, clearly exhausted. And twins, come on. So it's probably the last thing on her mind. And now he's got another request, which, by the way, thank God he has it. And he's even taken the time to write to you.
Right.
Amazing. I give this guy
so much credit.
And he's so open and so in tune with what and what's not happening. But it just sounds like she's, you know, reacting and probably not able to even like hear it and take it in and figure out how to make it better. Right. That's when you get angry.
Right.
Like I go through that with my husband all the time too. Somebody makes a request, you're feeling less than, you're feeling not capable, you're overwhelmed, and then you're pissed.
And also like hormones after two, I mean, it could be,
it's kind of normal.
It is normal. The cycle of having two kids and I mean.
But I love that he's even writing and trying and suggesting and asking, and clearly it's important enough that he wants to do the work.
Exactly. I love that you want to do the work here. I know. Here's the thing, David. There's a lot going on here. First of all, we both love you, Brooke and I. We're so happy that you wrote in. This
really
is amazing.
Impressive.
That you and I feel for you because you're trying really, really hard to talk to her. You've been together 10 years. You know, she's got twins. You guys have twins. It could be her hormones. She might be depressed. She might be exhausted. Yeah. There's a lot going on. I'm wondering if she's gone to the doctor, get her hormones checked. I just think that's just really important for women, especially, you know, after childbirth, to make sure that everything's cool and copacetic. I get that you. And that she doesn't really want to talk to you about it and she's shutting you down. So I'm wondering, and she doesn't want to masturbate. So I can understand you're like, help, what do I do? And so maybe if there's, and I'm not sure if it's your tone, because a lot of times it can be tone, like, let's just have sex, or why aren't we having more sex, or let's watch porn. It just sounds like she's shutting you down. So maybe you need
to
soften the tone, and maybe your tone and the approach has to be like, I just want to see you turned out. Like, I want to see you have enjoyment. So it could start with giving her a massage. I mean, I think when we talk about bringing intimacy back to a relationship, it sounds like there's no sex right now or intimacy. And so I think it's really helpful for couples sometimes to take sex off the table. So be like, you know what? I don't even care if we have sex. Let's just reconnect intimately. So maybe you give her a massage, a foot massage, you know, set the atmosphere, you know, get a babysitter, turn off the phone, and create an environment where she feels nurtured and she feels taken care of. And maybe she'll be able to open up then about what she wants. Because if she feels like you're going to want sex and you're going to want a blowjob and you're going to want all these things, and she just feels like she probably can't give to another person because she's got the kids, mm-hmm. and it just might be like another thing. So I feel like maybe flipping it and just kind of being nurturing towards her and kind of just saying, I'm here for
that
you.
That sounds really good. And you know, maybe, I mean, tell me what you think, Emily, too, but maybe even just partnering up in the reality of the dynamic of the relationship has changed. We have, you know, two very important people now that we're caring for. We're exhausted. Rather than that, sometimes for me as a woman, it's like, oh God, here we go again. Oh, you're going to be complaining about the lack of the sex that we're not having again. Right. That does not put me in the mood.
It's the last thing you want to hear.
It's approach, right?
It is approach and tone and timing. And so I think if you're just like, you know what, you could even say to her, David, listen, I feel like I've been pressuring you a lot. I get it. If you don't want to have sex, or you don't, I mean, I want to be the last thing you need is pressure for me. So, but I do think our time together is important, is intimacy. So
I care about us.
I care about us. So what would be a night? What would be your dream night? She might say, I want to go to my favorite restaurant, or I want to get dessert, or I want to sit and watch a movie without the kid. I mean, ask her what she needs right now. And then from that situation, you can say, it's okay if we don't have sex, take it off the table and start to build your intimacy again and build it around things that she wants to do, because we don't know. You don't know what she's craving or what she needs right now. So I would just, again, take the sex away and ask her some questions. Thank you, David. Let us know how it goes. Hey, Emily, I'm a new listener to your podcast. I'm loving the content. I'm going on 5 years of marriage and have a 2.5-year-old son. Sex with my husband is good, but I know it can be better. I've never had more than one orgasm at any one sexual encounter. Is this caused by a weak pelvic floor? I want to experience multiple orgasms that everyone is having. I don't know if it is.
But, really? Like who?
I know, exactly. I know that orgasm isn't and shouldn't be the goal of sex, but still, can you recommend something that I can do and exercise perhaps? Thank you for your time, Nicole, 26, Utah. Okay, Nicole, 5 years of marriage, 2.5-year-old son. Now, the reason why you're not having multiple orgasms probably has nothing to do with your pelvic floor, I'm sure. If you haven't had them before, like if you told me that you were having multiples and now you're not, we could look at that, but you've never had a multiple orgasm. Weak pelvic floor is a separate thing. It's really important, especially after having a child, that you should be doing your Kegel exercises and keeping your pelvic floor healthy and strong. And having a strong pelvic floor can help you have stronger orgasms. That is true. In fact, like G-spot, like sometimes when I'm doing them all the time, I'm like walking around, I'm like, I can just have an orgasm now. So yes, that can help you. But again, you should start doing your Kegels. Do you know I have an iPhone app called Kegel Camp?
No.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
It reminds you to do your every day.
I have to see that. It gives you like
a pops up and it reminds you to do them. So that's important. But I think the reason why you probably haven't ever had a multiple orgasm is because you just probably haven't, you don't know how and you haven't tried. So again, for some women, lucky women, they just kind of have, it happens. They just have an orgasm. Like our refractory period is a lot less than men, a lot shorter. And there's just some women who could keep having them. But for some, I had to learn. There's several women who've worked in my office. I've taught them, not hands-on, but we've talked about it, that I think that we have these limiting beliefs. We're like, I had one orgasm, I'm done, I'm out. Mm-hmm. A lot of it will happen probably during masturbation. So Nicole, if you have time to masturbate or if your partner's on board, you guys can experiment together. But it's typically after you have one orgasm, like a clitoral orgasm, and you just keep, sometimes we can't still be touched, like you don't still want your clitoris rubbed. But if you just, you know, your husband goes back to like kissing you and you know, teasing your nipples or doing something else and then going back maybe with his mouth or with his penis or however you orgasm, you can learn to build it up again. But I have more to say about this, but I was wondering how your take on multiple orgasms, bro.
Well, I was going to ask you a question if I could, because what I was thinking is, if you're having like an amazing, fulfilling, deep, mind-blowing orgasm, that might be really satisfying. Like, I'm wondering, is her one orgasm as good as it could be? So rather than the pressure of everybody's true, not having multiple orgasms.
Exactly.
Let's just get real right now.
Thank you for saying that.
Sorry, but come on. And if they are, they're probably faking a couple of them. But but if you focus maybe on just making that any orgasm just unbelievable. Like, personally, I don't know that I don't really need to have
more. No, right. I'm wiped. Right.
I'm pretty satisfied.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Take the pressure off. No, you're absolutely right. I'm so glad you said that, because, right, Nicole, who are these people? Everyone's having multiple orgasms, first of all. I don't know. Like, some people do, some people don't. You're right. And maybe one is enough. It's not that I'm not going to tell you that every woman can have multiples either, because then you'll be like,
By multiple doesn't mean like back to back. Like
back to back, yeah.
Not, but it's like, not like having one and then waiting a few minutes and then having another.
No,
are you talking
that.
About like, it's rolling through like bam, bam, bam? Like, what do you...
It's different for women, but typically for women who even have multiples, it could be different. But you can have one and then there's like a little down period, mm-hmm. and then it could come again. And for some women, though, it can roll one
right
after
one
the
next. That lasts for like 2 minutes,
yeah,
or like 3 minutes.
Exactly.
Like, is that considered a multiple, or is that just considered a really long orgasm?
Like, well, you know, it's how you slice it. Who knows? Sometimes it's like, was there a little dip in there? Maybe we
What's
can call
happening?
That too. Right. No,
I'm going to call that three just for sake of time.
Exactly. You're like, well, it should be called three, at least if it was 2 minutes.
That's worthy.
Right. But Nicole, you can, the thing is, right, maybe your orgasm's amazing and you're what? Some women just like, they're like, no, I am done. But if you want to learn, I'm just saying that you could try it. And there, I will not guarantee that every woman can do anything, just like every man can't do everything. Vibrators can also help. I know that there was a woman working here, Lori, and she said to me, we were trying out a new, it's one of our jobs here, when we're interns and work here, you have to try out vibrators. And we got the WeVibe Touch, which I love. It's one of my great clitoral vibrators. And she said to me, I've never had a multiple orgasm and I'd like to. And I said, okay, well, have you ever tried? And she said, no. I mean, I've kind of tried when I'm masturbating, but I don't know. And again, like whenever we have these goal-oriented things with sex, oftentimes they don't work, because mm-hmm. I think like what you said is
you're
right.
Kind
like,
of
can
in
we
your
take
head,
the pressure
like,
off.
Yeah,
you're so in your head, like it probably won't happen. But that said, I said to her when she went home, I said, "Listen, just I gave her the basic that after you have one, you don't just like roll over and like get on your phone. You can say, okay, I'm feeling the sensation. I had an orgasm, and then start just keep pleasuring yourself, play with your nipples, or just start to whatever it is think." Your sexy thoughts that turn mm-hmm. you on. And then you kind of revisit, go back down to your clitoris or your G-spot and get turned on again. But what happened was I'd given her this vibrator, and the next day we were doing a review on it, and she came in and I said, so how was it? And she said, I had five
no
orgasms.
Way.
Yes, it's a great vibrator.
Do you have that vibrator?
I do. I was going to say,
would you like another
review? I'll give you a touch. It's amazing. Yes.
Seriously?
The WeVibe Touch, yes.
Get out.
I love
here.
It. It's a great, it's just, it's like handheld. It's great for intercourse as well, if you need
okay.
a little extra clitoral.
I'm curious.
So Nicole, we taught, and also there's some great posts on my site about multiple orgasms, but I think that definitely doing your Kegels will help. And again, don't be so focused on, I'm sure orgasms are great, but you can learn to do it. It's just like afterward, you have your orgasm, just don't shut it off yet. Yeah. Keep your sexual energy flowing. It can help through breath as well. So that's the other thing, is that breathing deep and staying in your arousal and just letting that energy after your orgasm, just like kind of breathing and letting it keep that sexual energy. I sound mm-hmm. so like Northern
no, but
California.
I get it.
But
no,
like
but I get
keeping,
it. Totally.
Letting that energy, like keeping it alive in your body can also help. So there's a few different practices. I think if you try, it could happen, Nicole.
Nice.
I got faith. But don't beat yourself up if you don't. How's that?
Good.
Hi, Emily. I'm a 32-year-old man who's never been very comfortable talking to women or people in general, for that matter. I grew up as a scrawny, awkward kid, and I've never been able to shake that image of myself. I constantly have people telling me how handsome I am or assuming that I have no trouble with the ladies when in fact I've had a paralyzing fear of rejection for as long as I can remember. Mm. How can I get over this? Thanks for your time and all your wisdom on this podcast. Drew, 31, San Francisco.
Oh, this is deep.
I know.
This is a big one.
It
makes me sad hearing that. I hate the thought of considering someone not having self-compassion and self-love and confidence. I mean, and
I know it's tough.
Especially when he's getting all these compliments and you can't take it in and feel it and believe it.
Right. It's confidence. It's a, like cultivating our confidence for men and for women is like the most important work that we can do. And my heart goes out for men because I get a lot of emails from this and I hear from a lot of listeners who, especially men, I mean, I feel my heart goes out to them because there is so much pressure on guys to make the first move, to ask a woman out, to sexually make, you know, that move. And I feel like they think they have to know everything. They have to know all the right things to say. And really, it is, and for many men like Drew, it does become paralyzing.
Sure.
Like, it really is, like, it is such a fear that, like, something bad's going to happen. And so, Drew, all I can tell you is that just like everything that we talk about on the show, it's practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you that the more, like, I'm going to give you an assignment, Drew. I just want you to, for the next few weeks, every time you leave the house, I just want you to practice, like, talking to, let's say, 3 people a day. And it doesn't even have to be someone that you're attracted to. It could just be men, women, whoever, and just talk to them. Like, it could, don't even overthink it. I mean, think about if you're, like, talking to your friends. I'm sure with your friends, you know, you're comfortable. So think about if you're waiting in line at Starbucks. You're like, God, you know, has this always been this long of a line? Or have you tried their new unicorn? Is that thing still around? Their unicorn smoothie? No, whatever the hell it is.
I haven't tried it.
They have a smoothie. They have a s'mores one now. Just
baby steps.
Baby steps of practice, because dating and talking to someone, it's a muscle. So that the practice of approaching and talking and building conversation is not something that we're born with. Just like talking about sex is something that you have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that I want you to just to like start, even if it's people at work, talking to them, having a conversation, listening, and it'll get easier. It just will.
Yeah.
And you have to realize too that when you get rejected, which you will, Drew, we all get rejected. You're not going to die. You're going to be fine. You're going to get, you know, you're still going
to
live.
It's that one, not wasn't, like, it's that not one like an wasn't illness. Meant to be anyway.
Exactly. It wasn't meant to be. And you're going to learn from all of these. And it sounds like you have a lot of great friends around you who are supporting you. It's just, I feel like for you, it's like ripping a bandaid off, Drew. Like, just start doing it.
You know what I was thinking about? I do this when I teach my booty burn class, and I do this when I end every class. And I do this for a lot of women who don't have self-confidence.
Yeah, how do you do this?
And I say to them, if you feel uncomfortable in this exercise that I give women in my class every day, I go, you have to do it even more than the confident woman. So here's sort of how it works. It's a quiet, personal compliment that you give yourself every day. And you have to think it. You have to saturate yourself in compassion and love. So it could be anything, like, I don't know, Drew, like, you give yourself a personal compliment, something about yourself. You have to find something, one thing a day.
I'm a great friend, or all I need is within me now. I always say that to myself. Like, all I need, like, I don't need anything else outside myself.
And you say it to yourself, and then you believe it. So you take it in, you say it, nobody else is going to hear it. So there's like no shame in this. And then you believe it, and you make a practice every single day to give yourself one compliment. And then soon you start to really have a sense of self and appreciation and self-love. Yeah. And I think that probably will give you a lot of confidence.
I think like writing stuff down like that is very helpful. Like writing, and even like writing your negative thoughts that you have, getting them all out and then flipping it and think, what is the positive side of that? And remembering like a positive mantra. The other thing, Drew, I was going to say is if it, besides just talking to people, another, you're in San Francisco. That's like my hometown. It feels like that's like where my heart is. But I feel like, Drew, you know all those invites you get, like the Facebook invites or whatever it is? I want you to say yes also to every invite you get for the next month and just go. Because these are parties. These are friends of yours or friends of friends who are having events. So these aren't even strangers. Just go to an event. It's summertime. Go out, meet people, and just start talking to people.
Good.
And then you're gonna get that social, those skills
down. You're
going
to get comfortable. You're going to get used to it.
Exactly.
And it's going to be no big deal.
I
and by the way,
God.
Even super confident guys, by the way, have fear in this area too. So don't think like, you know, this is only a personal thing. I mean, there are studs out there who have like fear of, who get rejected and who have fear of speaking to women and don't know what to say and like stutter and trip over their, like, everybody goes through this.
Everybody goes through it, Drew, but you have to go through this now. Like, I know that, and the more you wait, it's getting worse. So just do it, Drew. Do it
good
today.
Luck, Drew.
Thanks, Drew. Okay. Thank you so much, Brooke.
It was a pleasure.
Burke Charvet.
I love your show. I really appreciate
what
you're doing.
I love you being here.
I appreciate what you're doing. You're helping a lot of people.
I'm doing my best.
Thank you
for being here. This was very helpful. I love your advice. Everyone check out your podcast, the Naked Mom Podcast.
Thank you.
And this is all also available on my website, Are we all good here? I love my team. I love you all. Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good
for
you?
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.